So if I'm going to do ministry, I'm going to do it the way that I feel called to do it. And if I can't do it that way, I don't need to do ministry. That's not what I was interested in doing with my life anyway. I was trying to go the corporate route. So I'll just go back to making money and taking care of my family if I can't do ministry the way that I feel called to. And the churches I was a part of let me know very clearly that you're not going to do that kind of ministry here. So we just had to start something.
Create your own space.
Yeah.
Wow. How does your dad feel?
My dad is deceased. He passed away in 2010.
I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate that. It's cool. I think about it all the time. I think my dad would be so proud. I don't think he would agree with every position that I take. I'm not so naive to think that. Like, my dad was a strong-willed person, but he taught me to think for myself. Mm-hmm. So I think he will be proud that although I've come to different conclusions, I did my work. And I think I would have been able to teach him some things had he still been around, which would just be like, you know, a fraction of what I've gained from him.
All right, we're good.
1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy. And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real-ish time. Welcome on, new and veteran listeners, and a special shout out to our A1 Day Ones, Grood. Chosen Family and gang over on Patreon. Y'all are some real ones, and thank you for your continued support and community.
We love y'all.
We do. And thank you all to all of our listeners for tuning into this episode. All right, so as y'all know, this season's theme is lemonade.
Or if you don't know and you're new to this because you're visiting because you heard we have a special guest.
Yeah, our season's theme is lemonade, and in this episode we're gonna discuss deconstructing marriage. We actually talked about a lot of things, so that's not really doing it justice with this episode, but we're gonna discuss
a lot of stuff,
yeah, about deconstruction with Christian A. Smith, a theologian. What's the right way to say?
I feel like theologian sounded better until you just said theologian, and now that sounds more official. We could use Google Translate, but fuck it, we hear it.
I'm gonna say a theologian.
We from Atlanta.
I'm gonna say a theologian.
He a theologian.
A theologian.
Oh, there's another I.
You see?
Theologian?
No. Okay.
No, that's fine. Leave this, by the way.
I have to hear it. I'm not leaving this.
Leave this.
Patreon can get
but
it.
This is a good intro, please. Leave it.
Okay, hold on. Let me play it.
Theologian.
Oh. Did I say it?
You did.
I did. Okay.
You said it wrong the first time. You corrected yourself with
theologian.
The right one.
Theologian. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. What did I just say? Theologian?
A theologian, pastor, content creator, and host of the Holy Smoke Cigars and Spirituality podcast.
Yes.
In our first segment, we're going to interview him. And then because this is an interview episode, we are going to wrap it up with a PDA segment, but not the fight or flight, because we want to always highlight the interview when we do interview episodes.
Yeah, and we don't want to beef around guests. You know, it's like you don't fight in front of company.
Right. Where we will share, and we'll share something in our PDA, as you know, that we're proud of each other and or express gratitude. You ready, babe?
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We hope you enjoy the interview. It was a lot of fun. So, backstory, y'all. Christian reached out to us. He heard our Before We Argue episode and wanted to chat. Before we get into that, I wanted to properly introduce Christian. Christian A. Smith is a cultural curator. A cultural curator is one who specializes in gathering and interpreting cultural content. In other words, they connect the dots.
He's a dot connector.
In Connecting the Dots, Christian is a community builder, content creator, the host of Holy Smokes, Cigars, and Spirituality podcast, where he and his counterparts deconstruct harmful theology and build beloved community one cigar at a time. He is also the founder and pastor of the Faith Community, an inclusive virtual community of faith, and the author of Breaking All the Rules, an ancient framework for modern faith. Christian is, last but not least, married to his beautiful wife, Pamela Merritt. And to that, we say, welcome, Christian.
What's going on?
What's going on? Thank y'all so much for having me on to have this conversation. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for reaching out. Randy opened up shop, a couple months ago? And she let it be known, like, hey, if you are interested in even having a conversation with us, reach out.
Yeah.
Do something personable. So this wasn't like a cold call email situation, which I thought was really nice. You had actually genuinely heard an episode.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised by some of the stuff we get.
So many emails are like, hi, the, because our email is like the Chapmans. Hi, the, or hi, Randy, or hi, Paul. They don't even acknowledge that they're, it's weird. So weird.
It's super
weird.
Like, I'm not going to respond to this.
Don't know you, nigga. But yeah, no, we are really happy to have, I'm sorry.
Yes, right. Yes. So before we get into the actual interview questions, we do have an icebreaker question that we're going to all answer. And after this, you'll just be the one answering the questions, Christian.
Okay.
But the icebreaker questions.
You can't.
You can't. Some people don't.
Nah, I'm just fooling, which I might though. I might.
We open to it.
So yeah. Okay. So the icebreaker question is, when was the first time or the last time you broke an unspoken, spoken rule in your family? And then after you, we'll have Mikey go, and then I'll answer last.
I think about the unspoken rule that a lot of our families have, which is like family first, family over everything.
Yep.
And I don't think that's bad on the surface, but I think the way that we implement that can be very harmful, because then we'll subject ourselves to unhealthy people that actually decrease the quality of our lives because they're family.
You preaching.
So
already, this ain't take you long at all.
So that was one of those rules where I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care what level of relationship that we have. I don't care how strong our biological connection is. If holding on to you is hurting me, I'm gonna let you go. Yep. And I'm not going to try to stop you from living your life in a way that is meaningful to you. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to participate in it. That's all.
Mm.
And, you know, that's one of those rules that, especially in Black families, is very difficult for people to untether themselves from. Because like, but that's the family. We got to do it because it's the family. All you is the family. I was like, I don't care if they unhealthy. Yeah. Like, I don't care. So, yeah, that's one that I've had to push back against. And that's probably the one I pushed back against most recently.
I know I'm going a little off script, but my question is, was that easy for you? Did that just come naturally? Because I find as a daughter and as a girl in the family, that pressure to acquiesce is like it's harder. And I find that in my opinion, it seems to be easier for the guys. But I'm interested in knowing if that was the case for you.
I think it very well could be easier for the guys. I can't say that for certain. I know for me, my temperament plays a lot into it. And my temperament isn't gender specific, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah.
That part of it. But definitely, you know, the way men and women are treated in Black families is obviously different. And I mean, of course, Black people are not a monolith. I'm just talking generally speaking. Mm-hmm. So I think that could definitely play a part in it. But what has had a major impact for me is continuing to deepen my love for myself. As I deepen my love for myself, I understand the importance of the boundaries that I set and how I maintain them. So it's easier for me now because I love myself more.
Now don't we like 5 minutes in? Why are you crying? Just take
my heart.
Okay. So you, Christian, you just happen to be popping up into our lives at a time where we're in the middle of, you know, transition. We're in a transitional period. We always are.
Yeah. Same.
And a lot of what you're speaking to are lessons that I guess we didn't really.
We're just now learning.
Start learning until adulthood.
Inspired by our children.
Yeah. Kids will do that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mike. So how about you? When was the last or first time you broke an unspoken, spoken rule?
So it's, I don't know if this is common in family, in Black families, but I know that in the West Indian community, it is very common. Saying no to your parents is a form of disrespect.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you say no to. Any request that is not met with an immediate yes, ma'am, yes, sir, something along those lines is disrespect. And I just remember maybe it was a couple of months ago, I had said no to something that I normally would have said yes to. And I think you like started slow clapping.
What was it? Did you say?
I don't remember. I think it was like somebody asked me to do something. I just couldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Normally, even if I can't, I don't have the capacity, I'm still going to say yes. And then I'll find a way to make it work. And in doing this, yeah, I'm putting myself out there. If I accomplish it, great. Another task will be assigned to me. If I don't,
right,
there's shame. I failed. I didn't do this thing. I let this person down. I didn't have the capacity to do it anyway. I should have just said no. That's usually the path that I'll take. But I've gotten into the space now where like I'm comfortable with saying no. Like it's not disrespect. It's just I can't right now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I love you any less or that I care about this family or helping you out. But if I can, I can't. And that has just never been, that's not a thing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's me.
Okay. Mine is, I am notorious for, okay, so we all have that. I think a lot of us across the diaspora have that, what happens in this house stays in this house.
Absolutely. Thing.
Something like it.
I break that rule consistently and constantly. I am notorious for doing that ever since I was a kid. And
yes, you are a habitual line stepper.
Yes, I'm a habitual truth teller. And that has gotten me in lots of shit. But I just can't, I can't. I mean, at one point I did, I was talked out of, or, you know, beat down out of, pressured out of telling the truth. But one day my sister told me, she told me this a few months ago. She was like, Randy, you remember as kids? She was like, I used to really look up to you. She was saying it, I think, and like, because I would always tell an adult when they were full of shit. Like I was just confused and I made it known that I was confused. And she thought that was so impactful to her. And I never knew that,
yeah,
that was the case. And quite honestly, some of the examples she gave, I couldn't remember,
yeah,
because I had like repressed it so much over the years, but I'm tapping back into that. And I, yeah. So
I was told in my youth that that was called ODD. I have ODD.
What is that?
Oppositional defiance disorder.
What?
Maybe, yeah, that's a different episode where they diagnose Black children with things, because
yeah, I had a problem with men, what's the word?
Authority
figures. Yeah, authority figures. Had a problem with it. But continue.
Yeah, I was just saying, like I would tell if there was sexual assault going on in the family. I would tell if my dad was drinking too much. I would tell, like, I remember one point he came to pick us up from school, and like the day before he was like stupid drunk, and I knew he was still. And I refused to get in the car. I was like, no, actually, I'm tired. I'm not doing this. And it was a whole thing. Like, we were in Mr. Waller's room. It was just our teacher that me and Mike both had. But I just refused to go. I was like, I'm not going. Bree, you're not going. Ain't nobody going in this car. Somebody else is going to have to pick me up. And it was a whole thing.
How old were you?
How old were we? 15? 16?
Okay.
What grade was this?
This was 9th grade, 10th grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm tired. And they called my mom. My mom couldn't get me. I was like, I'm not doing it. I can't remember if I eventually did do it. I think somebody else had to drive. But I was like, no, I'll just stay here and rot because I was just so sick of it. But yeah, that
were
is.
Were you beat that night? Out of curiosity.
No, okay. Because at this point they were divorced and he was not allowed to whoop us. And it wasn't like I was saying anything wrong. Like, mm-hmm, you are being unsafe and I'm tired of being afraid.
That's fair.
In cars. But yeah, me and my dad are okay now. But
love you, Randy.
But yeah. So yeah, that is mine. That was funny. Okay. So, Christian, first interview question. So when you reached out to us, you mentioned that a lot of the work you and your wife do is deconstructing how theology teaches us to resolve marital issues. So to start, what does that mean? And what does theology teach us, in your opinion? And how do you deconstruct that in your own marriage and think that, like, people should?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, right? We could probably do we could do a whole series on that question right there. So I'll do my best to condense it because I don't want to just start rambling. But when it comes to, like, the way popular Christian theology frames marriage, and I say that because when I got on social media and started doing content creation, I noticed that the stuff that I was saying, people didn't believe that I was a pastor. Like, I actually had to start putting in my videos, oh, hey, I'm a pastor, right? Because people would hear me talk and they would assume I'm speaking some foreign language or I'm creating some new religion. And I'm telling them, like, nah, like, I got to this place through my lived experiences and my encounter with the story of Jesus. And that's different from popular Christian theology. So when I'm talking about how we have to deconstruct, I'm talking about deconstructing popular Christian theology in our context, which is white evangelical fundamentalism. That's what I'm talking about. The theology in many of our Black churches is just a carryover from white evangelical fundamentalism. I tell folk all the time, I grew up in a National Baptist church, which is basically Southern Baptist light, right?
Light.
National Baptist is just Southern Baptist without the overt anti-Blackness.
Yeah.
Everything else is the same. So when it comes to how we teach marital relationships in those spaces or how we navigate them, everything is rooted in patriarchy. From the word go, everything is rooted in patriarchy, the supremacy of men, the subservience of women. It's reinforced across every line, all the stories that we tell. It's reinforced in our identification with God as a man. It's reinforced in how we look at the creation myths in Genesis. Like, a lot of people in the pew don't know there are two creation stories in Genesis. Genesis 1 is a creation story, and Genesis 2 is another creation story that were brought together when the canon was put together. So the first creation story in Genesis 1 says that male and female were created at the same time. But we always lean on the narrative in the second story. The male was created first and then the woman was pulled from the rib because she's supposed to be a helpmeet.
Yeah.
Right. So all of our teaching in the traditional church context about marriage is rooted in patriarchy. So that's what we got to start right there. If we're going to rethink or reimagine our understanding of marital relationships, we have to unpack the patriarchy and how that influences how we see each other, because that also assesses everything across gender lines. And romantic relationships are not limited to gender lines. I lead an inclusive digital community of faith.
You sure you a pastor?
See, you see what I'm saying?
Nah, because I'm listening and I'm looking him in his eyes. All right? For anybody listening to this, he's being serious. Like, this entire time he's been talking, there's no lying in his eyes right now, which is not the normal energy that one would receive from a pastor. Again, I've been traumatized.
I get it. I totally get it. Like, I trigger people daily.
One of the last times we actually were in a physical church, this was early in our marriage. What did he say that set you off?
He said that even monkeys know not to have sex with their same, like, gender or something like that.
Like,
and I was like, first of all, I took anthropology 101 when I was in high school at Georgia State. And bonobo apes are notoriously...
Son, all right.
That's so stupid. It was,
because up until that point, this church had said, you know, we're super inclusive. Come join us.
They had everybody's flag. They had...
Montel Jordan sang.
He was the choir.
He
was a choir.
That was the draw.
All right.
Really big church. It seemed good. Diverse crowd. And then he said that, and everybody was like, yeah.
And I never went back. I said, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I was like, I'm done. That's it.
All right. There's a quick hack on how you can avoid that. For people who are still looking for a community of faith, because a lot of people are not looking, and I'm not trying to tell people you need to be looking, but for those who are looking, one way you can determine if you're theologically safe in that space is go to the website and read what we believe. Almost every church is going to have a website with an About Us tab or a What We Believe tab. And what you're going to find is on that particular tab of the website, most churches have the exact same copy, the exact same rhetoric, the exact same belief system. It's rooted in the inerrancy and infallibility of the Bible. It's rooted in patriarchy. It's rooted in heaven and hell. So regardless of how they present on the outside, if the theology undergirding their ministry is still white evangelical fundamentalism, then all you got is white evangelical fundamentalism in skinny jeans. That's all. You got white evangelical fundamentalism with a good song because Montel Jordan is singing it. But it's the same old shit.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same old shit. Read the website. I'm telling you.
I am literally reading it right now after you just said that.
I've never been to a church's website.
And that could have saved us.
I've literally never been to a church's.
They have a section that says, what about gender, sexuality, and marriage?
Oh, no.
Yes.
We all wrestle with fleshly desires. Yes. However, this could have saved
Christian, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Christian.
You were saying that your community, you make sure it's very inclusive because of the patriarchy that is inherent in the way the Bible has been interpreted.
Right.
And taught to us.
So I work with people in relationships all the time that don't fit into the gender binary that popular Christianity imposes on us.
Right.
So I have same gender loving relationships, and I have polyamorous relationships that people are in our community. And when you start to engage people who are in queer relationships, meaning not fitting in the binary, you quickly discover that a lot of the issues that we have are just about interpersonal relationships that humans have with each other, regardless of their gender. Right. So my wife and I had a conversation with a couple in our ministry just last week, and it was the same gender loving couple, two guys, and they were having some challenges in their communication with each other. And come to find out, their communication dynamics are just like me and my wife. One of them is very concrete. The other one is very abstract, and they bump heads all the time. It's not about gender.
Yeah.
Right. So we have to really drill down to who we are as human beings and how our life experiences shape us and navigate our spirituality in the context of our marriage or our relationships in that way.
A word.
You look like you have thoughts.
I'm processing.
Okay.
This conversation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mike, your question, sorry, was next.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So a question that I had for you. So we've now been talking to you. When we again read through your first introductory email, it was like, all right, you got to talk to a pastor.
Yeah.
I was like, I could do that. I guess I can have that conversation. It'll probably be weird, but I can push through it.
Right.
And then at some point along the line, Randy said that cigars was in the title of your show. And I love cigars.
I was like, oh, man. Right?
Okay.
So my question was simply, where do cigars come into play? And how does this actually tie into your work of deconstructing? All right. And do you smoke cigars with your wife?
So I answered the last question first. Yes, I smoke cigars with my wife. I introduced her to cigars. She's not into them the way that I am. But every now and then she'll go with me and we'll sit at the cigar lounge and we'll smoke one. Cigars are a personal passion of mine. I didn't get into cigars to make it a ministry. I just started smoking them as a pastime. Cigars help me to relax. They kind of mellow me out. And
I know that feeling.
You know, I'm constantly going. Like, my brain doesn't stop. So, like, cigars and cannabis are my friends. because mm-hmm. they both helped me to slow down.
Yeah. Who is this man?
I'm about to start muting his mic.
I swear, I love your banter. I swear, the way the two of y'all interact with each other is so funny.
I just be having questions, bro. No, all right, so that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, so for our listeners or anybody who's listening right now, I know that the people who obviously listen to your show are fully aware or possibly aware of the feeling that you get from cigars. And I and Randy, we've talked about this in the past. There is such a thing as it's referred to as a cigar high. Right? There is mm-hmm. a calm that comes over you. And I think one of the first times I discovered that after smoking a cigar, I ended up going down this path.
Yeah.
Where like that is a personal passion of mine as well.
Yeah.
Love them. And then when Randy had hers for the first time.
On his 30th birthday, I was like, we were in the cabin. This is what you've been doing outside this whole time.
This whole time.
It was great.
Yeah.
He was like, you want to come smoke a cigar? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Now she just sound like crackhead.
Can we get some cigars when we go to the park? Can we get some cigars when we stop to pump gas? Like now you just want to incorporate them in everyday life. But no, that's cool. That's cool. So that was the second part. What about the first part?
So the first part, the way cigars became associated with ministry for me is when we started the faith community. Like that's the name of our digital church, the faith community. Mm-hmm. I knew that our ministry was very disruptive. Like the way that you two are responding to me right now is how people mm-hmm. have been responding to me for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I realized that if I want to reach the people that I feel called to serve, I'm going to have to figure out how to repackage what I do so that people don't associate it with church.
Yeah.
Because I'm a church kid and I believe this can be the work of the church. I truly believe that in my heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the people that I'm called to are not going to come to the church to get it.
Nope.
So we repackaged a lot of what we were doing in the church space and went to a cigar lounge because mm-hmm. I already like cigars. Cigars lend mm-hmm. themselves to great conversation. So we started mm-hmm. this ministry called Holy Smoke Cigars and Spirituality, where we invited some people to come out to Highland Cigar Lounge in Atlanta one Tuesday a month at 4:00 in the afternoon. Now I'm thinking,
wow,
4:00 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. Ain't nobody coming to this. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. we're just going to see what happens. And
I'd have been there.
You know, before you knew it, we were taking up a whole section, like almost half of the lounge for people coming out. And then people were visiting and saying, yo, you got to put this on the internet. Like mm-hmm. people need to hear these conversations. You got to put this on the internet. The problem with that was there are so many people who were there anonymously. They didn't want people outside of this mm-hmm. space to know they were there because it's like taboo for us to be talking like this. Mm-hmm. I don't want my church to find out. I don't want my family to find out that I'm asking all of these questions.
Yeah.
So I just picked a few people who I knew would be bold enough to have these conversations on the internet. And mm-hmm. and we started a podcast. So Holy Smoke Cigars and Spirituality became a whole podcast community that has really been the number one draw to my church. Mm-hmm. So people get hip to the podcast community. And then they find out, oh, this is connected to like a whole digital community of faith. And mm-hmm. there are other gatherings that happen here. So not only is it this cigar group where cigars are optional, we require mm-hmm. curiosity at Holy Smokes. We don't require cigars. Mm-hmm. But even beyond that, oh, they got this group over here where they talk about sex because we don't do mm-hmm. traditional sexual ethics. So mm-hmm. we talk about what do disruptive sexual ethics look like? Like that group is the adult side of the ministry. You talking reckless over there.
For grown-ups only.
Yeah, we got a movie group. We got mm-hmm. a music group. We got a group just for LGBTQ plus people. We got a book club. We got all of these different things that people can do in digital community. But Holy Smokes is what draws them because it's like cigars and spirituality. I need to see what this is about.
And yeah. And
I could imagine that those conversations would be
nice.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. We have fun. We talk about some of everything.
That's literally, I was like, yep, this is, I'm about to email him back. You had already got me when you called us by our names.
But you see what little it takes.
It really does. That's like people. You know, I really got me. I've had people. Okay, we're not, I'm gonna let it's it go. Fine, I'm gonna let it go. But then I heard the actual episode. I was like, okay, he actually heard the episode, and then the podcast name. I was like, I got to. So
I appreciate it.
Is it okay if I add a little extra?
Yeah.
So we did mention before that one of the things that I guess brought you to us or brought us to your attention was the Before We Argue episode. Just really quickly, what was it that I guess stood out from that episode that made you even want to have this conversation?
So I'm going to tell you what drew me to you two in general.
Okay.
That'll work.
The banter. I love the banter. I love how you two play off of each other and it's organic. Like you can tell when somebody acting.
It's scripted.
Like, that's scripted. Weird. Like, but I can tell, oh no, he just said that and she just said that in the moment. Like that wasn't scripted. Yeah. That's how they interact with each other. So that's one thing that drew me. And then just hearing you two talk about marriage and romantic relationships in these open-minded ways. I listen to people who are open-minded, right? I don't need somebody who's super credentialed if they're not open-minded because I
cannot stand.
Yeah. One of the greatest fortune cookies I've ever seen said the objective of a good education is to replace an empty mind with an open mind.
That is a good fortune cookie.
Yeah.
Right.
I always get bullshit in my fortune cookie. Where you get that at?
I didn't even see it. Somebody told me about it. I was like, oh my God. Like a friend of mine was like, this is what I got in my fortune cookie. I was like, oh, that's my fortune now. Thank you for sharing.
I was like, bro, I eat mad Chinese
food.
That's
a collective message. That's what we call it.
We can save that one for the end of this. Yeah. You write that down.
Collective message?
Yeah. That fortune cookie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we keep that.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had the next question.
Well, you've talked about this a lot, so I almost kind of don't want to answer it, but I guess, well, maybe we can kind of turn it. So the original question was like, okay, when I think about the Black church and all the trauma, conformity, purity, culture, violence, at the center of those experiences are Black pastors and their first ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's a thing. I don't know why Mikey's laughing at me.
Because the first lady always catch a stray.
It's not a stray.
Format, this question.
It's not a stray.
Oh, it's direct.
Yes.
Sorry. Got it.
It's a direct shot.
I'm aiming. Yes. I am being specific. Okay, my communication. Okay, but in looking through your work, you're clearly devoted to deconstruction and inclusivity, which we have talked a lot about. And I'd ask, like, but what makes you trustworthy? But I'm starting to understand what makes you trustworthy.
it's been cleared up.
So you just answered the question, to be perfectly honest, right?
Yeah.
Like, the answer to the question is, I can't explain my ministry. You got to experience it.
Mm. Yeah,
I have tried for years to explain to people, look, this is how my ministry functions. This is what it's like. Like, it's mm-hmm. not like anything you've ever experienced before. And they'd be like, whatever, because like y'all, they've been in these situations where they went into these spaces where they thought they were safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got blindsided with some theological bullshit out of nowhere. And it was like,
yep.
What the hell? So then it's like,
you're all the same. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't trust any of it anymore. Cause I've heard people tell me we're different. I've heard people like, that's how people are looking at me. I've heard churches say we're different. All of y'all say y'all different, but all of y'all are the same. So I just tell people like, you just got to experience it. The best explanation I've come up with so far is that like my church is like Afropunk, but for church.
Speaking of, so hearing about your work has made me remember when I was a kid, I went to church with my grandmother and this couple at the time I had to be like 9, 10. I wasn't aware of like what was happening and why the church was being really weird. But this lesbian couple walked in and sat down. One was like, dressed in like the typical like stud wear. Again, at this time I'm a child. And then the other, you know, she was dressed the way that women are expected to dress in culture. And I thought they were real nice, you know, and it was just weird. And I could not understand why it was weird. And then the pastor did the thing that many Black male pastors do. They start doing the scripture thing and then they'll say, you know, God says, come as you are. But
not but
like repent. I can't even explain what it was.
Well, don't stay as you
but
are.
But I was like, something. Yeah. And I was just like, what is he talking about? Yeah. And they looked so uncomfortable. And as a kid, again, I have no clue what is going on. I didn't know they were in a relationship. I didn't know anything. And it wasn't until we left, you know, the grownups after church gossip started like talking about this couple that came in, and I can't believe they came in. I was like, this is awful. Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, you could tell they look so skittish and like nervous, and but obviously showed up for a reason. And that broke my heart once I realized like what was happening around me. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so I just really appreciate that your space is not like that, obviously. And my question instead would be, what made you this type of pastor? Like, something had to click.
Yeah. So my theological education changed a lot for me. Because I was raised National Baptist, but even my dad was like a rebel within his context. So, you know, like National Baptists, a lot of them still don't believe in women preachers to this day. 2023 don't believe that women should be able to preach and pastor. My dad was licensing women to preach in the 80s.
Wow.
Right? I grew up in a church when I was in Oakland. I spent the first half of my childhood in Oakland, the second half in San Diego. And my church was on the block in Oakland. Like the trans sex workers worked the corner right across the street. Mm-hmm. Right. But my dad was friends with them. Even though theologically he didn't affirm them, he didn't talk about the theology with me. He just showed mm-hmm. me how he treated them. So even though theologically I didn't affirm people that were in the LGBTQ plus community, it was modeled for me to treat everybody with respect. So when I went to seminary and started to really unpack a lot of what I was taught, and when I was invited to start questioning my answers, I began to really unlearn a lot of the theology that I was taught, because it was rooted in control. It was rooted in manipulation. Yeah. It was rooted in anxiety, right? Creating anxiety, creating codependent relationships. So I was like, okay, I can't do that, right? Because now that I know how toxic that is, I don't want to do that anymore. So if I'm going to do ministry, I'm going to do it the way that I feel called to do it. And if I can't do it that way, I don't need to do ministry. That's not what I was interested in doing with my life anyway. I was trying to go the corporate route. So I'll just go back to making money and taking care of my family if I can't do ministry the way that I feel called to. And the churches I was a part of let me know very clearly that you're not going to do that kind of ministry here. So we just had to start something.
Create your own space.
Yeah.
Wow. How does your dad feel?
My dad is deceased. He passed away in 2010.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I appreciate that. It's cool. I think about it all the time. I think my dad would be so proud. I don't think he would agree with every position that I take. I'm not so naive to think that. Like, my dad was a strong-willed person, but he taught me to think for myself. Mm-hmm. So I think he will be proud that although I've come to different conclusions, I did my work. And I think I would have been able to teach him some things had he still been around, which would just be like, you know, a fraction of what I've gained from him. Like my whole personality is my dad. Like, I owe him for all of that. So I think we have a really interesting relationship, because I definitely come to different conclusions than him, but he was always open-minded. So it would have been interesting.
Wow. That's beautiful.
You know, I kind of see why there was a draw here. Being that you looked at certain spaces and you realized that what you felt, what you believed didn't really work with what was.
Yeah.
Is really similar to how we operate. Mm-hmm. We loved what marriage could be. Mm. However, we hadn't really seen it modeled in a way that we thought would fit us. And so all we do, and you know, our tagline is, we talk about what we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage. And it's a lot of unlearning.
A lot.
Right? It's a lot of unlearning while figuring things out. But we created this podcast in that same way, just because we wanted to, you know, do it
a different way
and stay together. But no, that's what's up. That's what's up. Randy, your example that you gave before, as far as like the thing that the memory that you remember, and even his, Christian's memory that he remembers is very similar to what I hear with a lot of people. We have family members, friends, podcast listeners that have expressed like the reason why they just don't feel comfortable approaching religious spaces because they just don't feel welcome. They just don't.
Yeah.
They love God and they want to reconnect with God because at some point they were. But then something pushed them away. And even though they try to find their way back, they just never, they never quite find that thing or that space that makes them feel welcome. And so they pray at home and as close as they feel to God, maybe when they're saying grace at night, something like that. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think that hopefully hearing that something like this exists will encourage people to like continue to seek those spaces because it sounds good.
You got to experience it, you know, like, and that's why our ministry being digital is really helpful because you can engage it with complete anonymity if you want to. Right. Because so much happens in our community that people get an education in our community. They get education, empowerment, entertainment, all of the above, enlightenment. That's what we do in our digital community. So some people, they don't say anything because they're just soaking it all in. And then at a certain point, a lot of times they come around and say, OK, I've been watching y'all for the past year. I've been watching y'all for the past 2 years. I think I'm ready to make myself known to you. And when people are ready to make themselves known, then we get get to know them. But we allow everybody to engage at their own level of comfort, which is a lot different from what most people are accustomed to because they feel like.
Right. And be like.
We were forced to
first,
do everything.
First time visitors, please stand
up.
Please come
down. Want to make sure that we see you.
Even and
grab a packet.
And somebody always knows that you're new because somebody's always talk about at
you,
church.
You might want to.
Yeah. You know, you need to stand up.
Right. Or ties. I just got here. Yeah. I don't want to give you no money. I don't know you.
I'm out of town. And you want 10% of my income? I'm on vacation. What?
I gotta sign this envelope. I'm gonna just touch the basket, and I'm gonna I'm gonna put some good intention.
Jesus
on
know
it.
My heart. That's where all that shit come from. The Lord know me.
Thank you, Christian. Okay, so this is actually Mike. Your question actually segues us into our final one.
Hell yeah!
Unless Christian has something to say to us, but when me and Mike were talking about this last question, because I was like, I'm really trying to. And on a marriage note. And we have discovered that our marriage has affected and impacted our faith. Like, we are not the same people in our faith as we were when we first got married. We were very doe-eyed and naive.
I wouldn't say doe-eyed and naive.
I was. I thought that being good meant that I was good. You know, and that is not the
case. I'm one of those people that really felt like, not like I'm good. Like, I'm very much highly favored. Like, I'm straight. No matter what happens, I walk around with like this armor spiritually.
And then we had a kid, then we miscarried, then we had Droopy, then we had Noble, and we lost him. It was just like, you know what, God? We need to be really our relationship is toxic.
We gotta talk about
this. We have to put our cards on the table, and I actually feel way, way more connected to God, way more honest, a lot more integrity, because it's like, I'm not doing this, you know, for a reward, that I'm not doing this to hope my children stay, like, you know, like, I just so like in our marriage and how like our faith has changed, because like when we first got married, I didn't have an ancestor altar. Now I do, you know. And like when we first got married, I wasn't smudging, and now I am. When we first got married, we weren't like actively like praying out loud with each other for each other,
except grace and whenever we do road trips,
right? And these, so like, now that's completely different. We weren't taking spiritual baths, and now Drew was like, Mom, can I get a green bath? And she's 4. So I'm like, if you feel like you need a bath, girl, I'm gonna give you one.
Right.
Because clearly you know something about yourself that I don't. But yeah, so like, that has changed so much, our practices and how we talk to God, how we talk about God. And so I
so want, much so that our daughter also often asks, can you tell me about Jesus?
Like, can we talk about Jesus? We have to explain to her that there are a lot of languages, there are a lot of religions, people consider Jesus to be different in each religion. And so we really don't want her to think.
Gotta break that this down.
I'm like, in this culture, you know, in this religion, they believe Jesus was like a student. You know, this one he is, you know,
I love that.
The Messiah. And like, and so like trying to explain that to a 4-year-old who is on YouTube Kids watching Easter things about Jesus, it's like, and she don't understand. We don't want her to watch it. We're like, girl, you can watch anything else, but you gotta get our permission to watch something about Jesus. Cause we just...
And it also shines a light on like me, like what I know, didn't know what I was exposed to. I was one of them kids that was forced to go to church, but I'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be super engaged. I was flirting with girls during Bible study. I was in the building. What? Them was the ones.
Not Bible study. Those are the ones.
No parental supervision. Anyway, like this was my mind. This was what was going on. So I'd hear the stories. But even earlier, as you were explaining the two stories of Genesis, I was like, what you talking about? Oh, I know that one. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, I do remember hearing that one passively.
Right.
But that's not what people talk about. Like things like that. Like her bringing our attention to this just reminded me, you know, like I need to continue to actually think about these, engage in this and.
Like she could grow up to be a devout Christian.
She could, which would be super
sad. But I wouldn't tell her that. Okay. No. Okay. Let me stop. Christian, please tell us how your marriage has affected your faith, your opinion.
In very significant ways. And that's because my wife is also very spiritual and she has a background in a totally different faith tradition. So
mm-hmm. I was going to ask.
Yeah. She grew up Church of God Holiness.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 You know, if holiness is in the name, you know,
we got a couple of those on the east side.
They different.
It's some extreme rule keeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
Much of your faith is predicated on the amount of rules that you can keep. And in every faith tradition mm-hmm. has different sets of rules, right? So in holiness churches, you got the most restrictive rules, generally speaking.
It's like cultish or could be considered that.
Yeah, it's yes. People, you know, when I do interviews, people always ask me about cults. And I'm probably going to have to like do some expounding on
episode. Yeah,
because
break that down.
The cults operate at different levels, right? So some cults are much more restrictive than others. But for all intents and purposes, the major world religions are like wildly successful cults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's like there are different levels to it, though. Like they don't all restrict you in the same way. But I don't think spirituality is meant to restrict us. I think it's meant to open mm-hmm. us up and liberate us.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't want to practice any type of faith that restricts me from seeing the world, that restricts me from seeing the divinity in people around me. And my wife is the same way. So when I went to seminary, that was like the year we got married. The year I went to seminary is the year we got married. So our relationship, our marital relationship started with my theological evolution, which was very interesting because she was already there. She just didn't have the language for it.
Mm.
So I got an education and learned some language and then developed some more language to contextualize it. And she and I would have these conversations like weekly, like multiple times a week about stuff that I was learning and unlearning. Mm-hmm. And she is a therapist. So she would bring the emotional health component to the conversation.
Bridge the gap.
So I learned a lot about, you know, emotional health and mental health and how that ties in with our spiritual health by being married to her. And then it just turned into this whole thing where it's just like, okay, we need to just put this stuff out there in the world. So my wife has a support group called Therapy and Theology, where she helps people to unpack religious trauma. Right.
Send that link.
Yeah. Therapy. I'm
gonna write
therapy,
it.
The letter N, theology.com. Therapy, the letter N, theology.com. So like my marriage to her has been pivotal in bringing together our emotional health and our spiritual health. So we've been able to bounce off of each other, which has made us it's really made our ministry somewhat of a standard in certain spaces as it pertains to having trauma informed ministry.
Yeah.
And we didn't even realize it until people started coming to us, asking us about how we do trauma informed ministry. And it was like, oh yeah, we do that, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, y'all do.
Yeah. So it hasn't had a major impact. So like, because of my marriage with her, like, I don't believe you can be spiritually healthy and be emotionally unhealthy. I think they work hand in hand.
I would agree. That's why your skin look like that.
I need a drink.
See, I've been trying to figure out why your skin looks so clear.
I need
it's
because
your karma is good. Like, your image is like the situation you just described, right? Like, my wife do this, I do this. We actually, you know what? We kind of straight together.
I need
like
some
this
wine.
Is like good. That's why his skin looks like. Y'all can't see this man's skin, but it's clear.
It's
and he drinking water.
Word.
Like, this man hydrated as fuck. Y'all see, like,
trying to drink my water and mind my business.
Listen, wow. That was great.
Thank you so much, Christian. We absolutely appreciate it.
Do you have any questions for us? And if not, or if so, please also plug like all your things. I will include them in the show notes. Anything I mentioned in your bio, I will include as well.
Yeah.
But, like, where people can find you, all the things.
Yeah. So on social media is thechristianasmith.com. It's KRISTIANASmith, thechristianasmith. That's my handle on TikTok and Instagram, where I do most of my content creation. And then if you want to connect with the podcast or the digital communities that I lead, just go to holysmokesmovement.com. Like, you can find the podcast there. You can find the Patreon community. You can find the link to get my book called Breaking All the Rules, all types of stuff. holysmokesmovement.com. We'll plug you in and you can connect with us digitally. People ask me all the time, like, do you have something in my city? I'm like, yeah, it's on your phone. It's on your phone, right? Like, we'll do something in person in different places in the future. But for right now, we're building digital community. And much of what we do beyond that will be an outgrowth of what we're doing in the digital space.
I think it's hilarious how these names just fell in your lap. What? Like, maybe they didn't, but like, Holy Smokes is just a genius name.
So that was actually an inspiration from another pastor. I was in Philadelphia having a cigar with another pastor, and this was years ago. He said, man, I want to have a men's ministry. I want to call that thing Holy Smokes. I said, my G, I am going to use that. And when I started the ministry, I hit him up. I was like, yo, I'm about to do this. What's up? You want to get down with it? You want to do it? And he was like, nah, man, go ahead.
Yeah, he was meant to say that out loud.
Yes. Yes. Man, that's wonderful. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you so much, man. That was a good talk.
It was. Yeah, we just kept him on. I know, he was like, these niggas crazy.
I'm pretty sure that we had only had a scheduled block for like an hour, maybe.
We were talking for like
that
an hour
15.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We hope y'all enjoyed that. Yeah, it was really good. And y'all heard the episode. We were constantly surprised and in awe of how humane and wonderful his work is. Yeah,
absolutely. It's interesting looking at somebody's face and you can tell they're not really lying.
Yeah.
Which is like rare.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed that. And Christian, he's gonna hear this. Still need to link up about that cigar.
Yeah.
You need to just probably put this on the radar too. If you enjoy that episode, we are very much gonna likely meet up and smoke a cigar somewhere. All right.
Somewhere.
About to join him in his space. We're gonna meet up at a lounge, do something. But that I enjoy that.
Yeah, it was really a conversation. All right, babe, PDA.
PDA. So, a lot of positive things happened this week.
Okay.
I guess if I had to highlight one thing.
What are you laughing about?
I don't know. I could take it in a couple of directions.
Are you going to? Okay, no.
No, what?
No,
what?
No.
Say it.
I don't know.
Say it.
I really don't know. Mikey, what is your PDA?
You know what? No, I'm going to go with something recent. And
do you need time?
No, because there's a couple of things. All right, so I'm just going to go with something that's really recent, right? Randy's been doing like a lot of little things to make me feel seen, all right? I'm going to mention two of them.
Okay.
One, I have been having a hard time with work. Work-life balance isn't really something that I've been struggling with really since the pandemic, because shit's been all over the place. Everybody just accepts like it's a mess. Your family's going to be on your Zoom call. You got to leave work early for emergencies at home. It's like a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. But I have been really stressed with some things that I've been having to like do on a deadline. And you came to me and you told me that like you understood. You were like, look, when I am struggling or stressed over something at work, you just tell me, okay. Like you tell me it's going to be okay or something to that effect.
You're really kind.
Yes.
And patient.
And I was like, well,
and
yeah.
I had not been very kind or patient because I was like, but what about me? And then I was driving and I was like, oh, wait, you got to grow up. And like now it's Mikey's turn to like be stressed about work and
because I don't normally do these things.
And he
but
needs
like,
to like, he needs grace and patience. And so I came to you and I apologize.
And I really appreciate it. I'm still new-ish in my role. I'm approaching like my first year. Mm-hmm. And I got work trauma. I do from old jobs, you know, and I don't want to lose my job. It's yeah. like it's an always like a lingering thought. And so, you know, I'd be stressed. And a lot of what we do financially depends on like me not losing a job. And so mm-hmm. like all these pressures and stuff like build up. And maybe it's not always, you know, it's not always real. And I can recognize that. But like my feelings are. And like for real, today in this moment, I'm tired. For real, today in this moment, I'm stressed. For real, based off of what interaction I just had, it's been a lot. And so that day when you said that, you just hear something you just really needed to hear.
Yeah.
That was that. And I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you for seeing me. That was one thing.
Okay.
Second thing happened today. I told Randy months ago that some of the best way that I think we can move forward so that your business, your production work can be more successful as one of your longtime clients is for you to treat me like a client.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I was like, we schedule stuff. I'll follow through. I'll follow up. You know, I'll respond to whatever you need me to respond to. Like, we can do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you set up a whole little profile for yes. me in like your little
what
workspace
I use
thing.
For my actual client.
We're not going to say it because they're not paying us.
What?
They're not.
I'm not.
I will put it out there. All right, you can talk about it. What you
want
to do?
What are you saying? I use ClickUp.
All right, ClickUp. You heard that. We mentioned you. Send my wife a check.
Oh, I am an affiliate.
Excellent. What's the affiliate link?
It's on my site.
Say it right now.
Well, the link is all weird and long, but if you go to wordyproductions.com mm-hmm. under resources, you will see under technology the things that I use.
Shameless plug. There we go. I like that. All right, so it's an organizational tool, and I feel important.
I'm living my best life through this stuff.
This is something that one is helping you, but two is like the purpose of our podcast. It originated with something for us to do. We talk just to remain close, to be in communication with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a long-standing working relationship, just working together. We've been working together since we were teenagers.
Yeah.
So this is nice. It's nice. I feel like I'm a part of like your workspace. I don't feel like my job is my only like job, but I also don't feel like this is just a job. You know, like it's fun. Like you walk me through some of the things and like you nerd it out because that's who you are.
I love this.
Look
app.
At this thing you can click on. Like you let the website open.
And
I
thought.
It does
have AI capabilities.
Of course it does.
So if you want to use it.
Randy clicked on the button to open up this website and I thought that I was going to get to explore. But she immediately slid my laptop towards her and said, look, if you click here, this does it. And you can check this off like this. She didn't at all let a nigga click on a single thing. And then she opened up this page that we're currently on to outline some of the things that we need to highlight for this episode. I didn't do this. You did this. And so
well,
like
you can play around with it.
Of course I can. She's not gonna let me.
You can.
I will. But I really appreciate the forethought that you're putting into things. I appreciate the extra little, I don't know the word for it.
Garnish.
Yeah, like the, you know?
The cilantro over the pasta.
The presentation is starting, it's presenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving
professionalism. Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I love it for me too.
It looks good on you.
I really appreciate it. You know, I've been really stressed about making this board for us, just for, you know, us, even though I use it with my other clients, but because I was like, oh, I don't want Mike to be, he's going like, to be upset about another thing. He had an email. And I was like, I just envisioned you giving me a lot of mess for it. Like, babe, I'm tired. I don't want to, you know, what's wrong with Google Drive? We've been doing, you know, mm-hmm. just like nothing. Cause Google Drive works and it is definitely integrated into the system. But no, you just like did it. You just like signed in. And I was like, okay, Randy, you gotta be a leader. You gotta be afraid not to lead.
You did that.
And you tell me all the time that you want me to shine and show up. So I was like, okay, Randy, if he was a regular, if BMM was a podcast client that you were not like in, how would you be treating the podcast?
I appreciate it.
And that's what I did.
Oh, wait. So my PDA was a sprinkle of a couple of things. So I started with the wife. I followed up with the boss. And then as a woman, feel like I should shout you out. You've been gross in bed as of late. And it's been wonderful. And I appreciate that, too. I won't go in super detail. We're going to save that for another episode.
Because I just discovered but something.
Like, you discovered what?
Share with the class. I just discovered how to bring up more saliva. And I am
y'all
addicted. I'm just like, oh, that is what you gotta do?
Good times. And I'll leave it at that. Your PDA, love. What's going on?
My PDA. Yes, I have it. So speaking of, you okay? Mm-hmm. Speaking of letting me be a boss, your latest indie, everybody has been talking about it. Mm-hmm. It is so good. Our sister, my sister, your sister-in-law, your sister, don't even listen to our episodes really no more because she's like, it's like reliving
we've
it twice.
Traumatized family.
Because we're not even that, but she's been around for everything.
She
but
knows
like,
everything.
Your indies, our indies are special because, again, like we say, they highlight our individual, like who we are as individuals. Mm-hmm. And your indie did that. Like, I even heard your episode and learned a lot of new stuff.
I realized while I was talking
that
was
you
like,
have
oh,
never,
I've never
said these things
to
me.
Yeah.
It was so well done. Thank you for trusting me with the production notes and like us walking through it so that you could give an episode that I didn't have to make you re-record because you know I'm not above it. And it was just one, like I grew. Sorry, y'all. It was driving me crazy. It was wonderful because I felt like I was listening to like, you were just so happy. And it's just, it was a wholesome episode, even in talking about grief and growth. Like I just, it's just what we need. It was like it was like Abbott Elementary, you know, like we just all need something to, we just all need something to
that
laugh
is high
at
praise.
And we just need something to feel good about because my God, and that's what your episode made me think of. And also another PDA is I will be going to see Beyonce in a few days thanks to you and your benefits.
Happy birthday.
And your hard work. I'm so happy you asked me to marry you because I get all these spousal benefits and things. But also, like, it's just really sweet, Mike. And it is the concert of the century. And you know how much I love Beyonce. You know how much I mean, she's been around as long as I've been alive. And it's really special because Bree is also going with me to the concert. And you made that happen. And I love you. And I'm really excited and I'm really grateful. And yeah.
I love you and I appreciate it. Got a highlight here for anyone that's listening. If you are unaware, for some reason you've been under a rock, Randy does have a production company and I've watched you work with your clients, but also know you. Like, mm-hmm. I have the added benefit of knowing you. I was very stressed out about doing the episode because I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I wasn't really sure how to get there.
Yeah.
And part of my issue with formulating my thoughts is I know what I want to say, but how to say it can be like a struggle. And so that episode almost didn't happen if I didn't feel comfortable enough to even approach you and say, no, like I need your hand on this one. Cause like I have thoughts and arranging them, I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. And you did that.
I did.
You did. And I really appreciate you for
Thank
it.
You.
So yeah, they're my thoughts. They're my words. They are my everything. But like without being put in that direction, that wouldn't have come out.
Yeah. Cause at first Mikey's notes were looking like, I was like, what is this?
It was like a confessional. Like, these are my confession. It was just sharing thoughts that had nothing to do with what I was trying to say.
Let's erase all of this and start over.
And I'm not mad at that. Because I have, since we've been away for a while, since we've come back, I just have like thoughts as far as what I want to execute and things that I want to do. And because of all of the skills that you developed and because of how you work, I'm excited to put that shit to use.
Yeah.
Step into it as a client. And the next indie, every indie moving forward, I think will be very fun for you to help me with. And I think the people are going to continue to love it. And if you haven't listened, or if this is your first time listening to an episode and you're hearing this right now, check it out.
It's called I Can Fix That. I will also put it in the show notes. I try to make sure I put all the things we mention in our show notes, but we be talking a lot. but thank you, Mike. And it takes a lot of vulnerability to receive feedback. And I know it was a very vulnerable like episode, even though it was wholesome and like it was a lot, like it was emotional. Mm-hmm. Because it's been a year since you've done an indie, for all the reasons. So yeah.
I know the PDA is long, but like also, you know, it was your birthday. You should go see Beyonce. Have fun.
My birthday.
It's a birthday present.
I mean, it was a birthday present. Yeah.
But this was the only date that you could find. So I hope you have fun in Texas. I'm also excited because you're going to be dressing like the poster I used to have on my wall for Beyonce and Crazy in Love, where she was wearing silver. And I could have sworn that if you keep staring at it, you would see a nipple. Now, this
She made sure that it was
11-year-old Mikey. He was right next to my little Kim poster, next to my Alicia Keys with the half curly, half braided hair. I had Brooke Valentine and some cars.
It was a really great room.
It was a nigga's room.
it was a high school boys' room.
At the center of it was that poster. And so y'all about to go all glittered and silvery up. And I like that for you.
I'm so excited.
I hope you have fun.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Call to action.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman. All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions.
We are now and still available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all your favorite streaming services. Rate us.
5 stars.
5 stars. And review us, y'all, because we love to read the reviews and to highlight them on Instagram. And y'all know we also good about bringing them to the episode.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle, which you didn't hear in this episode because we ain't fight, was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles. Details in our show notes.
To hang out with us and support our work as independent creators, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get access to our Discord channel, unedited, edited, and ad-free episodes, Zoom meetings with us, and more.
Mixtapes is popping.
Yeah.
Game nights is popping. Go ahead and join the community.
We had a random Roseanne live stream, the original Roseanne, before we found out she was crazy.
I got some PDA for that too, for another episode.
Do you?
Yeah.
Follow on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_thechapmans. Also, it's X now.
Whatever. Thank you again for listening, y'all. Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get, 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon.